I think you're all going to be amazed with how the children's sermon ties into the adult sermon today, because I didn't anticipate it, and it's really kind of amazing. Today we're going to be looking, remember, if you remember last week, I said we're going to be going back, because we moved forward in our journey, because I wanted us to look at the tabernacle with having world communion and understanding that the tabernacle represents Christ and all those things that lead us unto salvation. But now I need to take us back just before communion, because before we can come to that place of the temple and having communion, we have to understand the covenant that was created and how God consecrated his people and brought them into communion with him. So if you would, open your scriptures to Exodus in the 23rd chapter. We're going to begin after the law with the confirmation of the covenant. And that's in chapter 23 at the end of 23 through 24. The law has been given up to this point, and Brother David taught you a couple weeks ago that the law of God is a physical law, but it's also a spiritual law. It has a physical implication of things we are to do and not to do, but it also has a spiritual implication in how it's to be applied in our lives and the areas therein. If you remember, Brother David talked about the fires that someone might set, and how that fire can spread to someone's shocks or wheat field, and we're responsible for that. And those fires are literal physical fires, but they're also spiritual fires, because with the tongue we set ablaze much. Okay? So you have to understand there's a spiritual aspect to the law and a physical aspect to the law. And after all this law was given, the Lord gave the people two promises. And we're going to look at those two promises, because the law seems like a lot to have to deal with. But that's because we didn't know God was as holy as he is. Remember, these people had no idea how holy God was, what his ordinances were, because for 430 years they were in exile. And so too, our world, for probably the last, I don't know how many years, has been in exile because we are walking away as a nation from our Lord and Savior. And we need to come back to him. And this is what God says is a promise, if we will follow his commands. From verse 20 in chapter 23. See, I'm sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way and to bring you to the place I have prepared. Pay attention to him and listen to what he says. Do not rebel against him. He will not forgive your rebellion, since my name is in him. If you listen carefully to what he says and do all that I say, I will be an enemy to your enemies, and I will oppose those who oppose you. My angel will go ahead of you and bring you into the land of the Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hivites, and Jebusites, and I will wipe them out. Do not bow down before their gods or worship them or follow their practices. You must demolish them and break their sacred stones to pieces. Worship the Lord your God, and his blessing will be on your food and water, and I will take away sickness from among you. And none will miscarry or be barren in your land. I will give you a full lifespan. When we read these words and we begin to understand that God is setting up principles here, that the people of Israel are supposed to be separated from the people into the land of which they're going. God's going to move them out. God is going to send an angel before them to give them that direction that they should follow and keep. We do not have an angel going before us anymore. What do we have going before us? And it's far better, because we're under the new covenant, the covenant of Jesus Christ, the covenant of his blood. What we have going before us, if we are in Christ, is the Holy Spirit of God. God himself goes before us. Not an angel. God goes before us. And God hems us in on all sides, gives us protection. And we can dwell in the land. He doesn't have to chase anybody out of the land. The reason they had to chase people out of the land was because the Holy Spirit didn't dwell in the people. The people were without the Holy Spirit. With us having the Holy Spirit, God says, I don't need to drive them out. You need to draw them in. You need to draw them in. And there's a big difference here in the way God brings this provision. But one thing is really the same. He says, do not bow down to any of their idols. How many of us bow down every day to one of those idols? It's called the television. Every day. We'll turn that thing on, and I've watched it. I see it happening to me, and it's like, oh, why does this happen? The TV will be on in the living room, and I try to stay out of the living room. I'm in the kitchen. You know, I get a drink, and I go over to go into my office, and I just have to stop in the doorway and stand there for 15 minutes and look at that stupid box and just get sucked in. And that's exactly what happened to Israel. Israel started to get sucked in. And God says, no, if you do what I'm asking, I will open the land up before you. Stop coming to their altars. Stop coming to their idols. And begin listening to me. I gave you all my decrees. I gave you all my decrees. Listen to them. Obey them. Think on these things. Fill your mind with them. Understand me. And I will open the land before you. In fact, he says, I will go with you, and you will draw people to you. We need to remember, the world's trying to draw us to it, and it has a much better marketing scheme than we do, because we're individuals. But the God of the universe is the power of all things, and in him we reside. And if we allow his love and hope and strength to abide in us, all those things will fall away and will be seen for what they really are. They are idols. Okay? I think of all the poor young ladies in our world who go around starving themselves because a pretty girl, according to the popular magazines, is this toothpick of a woman that just is sickly. And what are we doing to our young ladies? We're telling them that, well, you're not acceptable. That's not what God says. God says you're beautiful. God says, I made you. And all you have to do is love me, and I show you the love that you have for yourself. Because that's how we get whole. It's understanding that these idols that we set up call us to do all kinds of things. If you remember in the scripture, many places, you know, we found out that as these people were worshiping God, Bobby reminded me last night that as Elisha was arguing, or not arguing, but was contending with the prophets of Baal, they were going around cutting themselves. How many of our young people today are cutting themselves? Why? Because there's a God of this world that wants that to happen. He wants them to deface themselves. He wants people to be torn away from the reality that God has created us and given us an inner beauty that is stronger and more powerful than anything this world can offer. But we have to separate ourselves from the Hittites and the Amorites and the Jezebites and the whateverites. And remember that we are called to Christ. We are his chosen people. And we have what the world needs. Don't listen to the idols. Don't stand under their teaching. Don't allow them. Tear them down. And I'll tell you right now, if you cannot get away from the TV, you know, it's one of those deals where, oh, Pastor, you know, you have no idea. Unplug that puppy. Get it out of your house. If it's controlling you, you don't want it. And I'm talking about anything. If it's alcohol, get rid of it. Nobody's breaking your arm to lift a bottle. If it's drugs, get into a group and get some help. Talk to me. Talk to the elders. We'll be here for you. We'll pray with you. For heaven's sakes, the phone weighs 6 ounces. Pick up the line. And I'll tell you what, there's one that weighs even less. And it's a direct line. I've had so many people say to me, well, Pastor, you've got a direct line to God. Guess what? So do you. Use it. All you have to do to get on that line is get on your knees and you're instantly connected. Boom. Direct line to the White House. And I'm talking the real White House. And you and I need to understand that God is saying to these people walking in Egypt, walking out of Egypt into this sojourning time, walking through the desert, I'm going to send my angel before you. And he's telling us the same thing, but it's not an angel that goes before us. It's God himself. If we will trust him, if we will listen to his decrees, God says, I will go before you. We're told that throughout the New Testament. That whenever we come into a place, you know, I think this is one of the most wonderful aspects of being a Christian. You know, you don't have to remember anything. I love being a Christian. I love it. I don't have to remember anything. God says the Holy Spirit will bring to our remembrance everything we know. And guess what? When we know God, we know everything we need to know. How many times have you been before someone and you thought to yourself, oh, I can't say anything to them. I'm going to show them how stupid I really am. Do you know every time you don't witness, that's exactly what you're saying? Folks, you have everything you need within you to speak every word of God to an individual that they need to hear. All you have to do is be willing to open your mouth. You have everything you need. It's called your testimony. How have you met God? Why do you think God puts those people in front of you? Because they're going to relate to your testimony. They're going to relate to where you've walked. And you're going to be able to speak to them the realities of truth and life and love. And God says, I will go before you. I'm not going to chase the people out. I'm going to have you bring them in. That's who we are. That's who we're supposed to be. The people of God bringing into the fold the wonders of Christ. As we sojourn here, as we look at this, you know, right now we're in a gymnasium and or an auditorium, whatever you wish to call it, and it's not a church. Yes, it is. You're the church. This is just a facility. We could be meeting in the parking lot. We could be meeting in someone's home. We are still a church. And do you want to know something? There is a time that will be coming when no one in Christ Jesus is going to be meeting in a facility. You're going to be meeting underground. You're going to be hidden. If you don't believe me, read the last book. It talks real clear about it. We need to understand that a time is coming. But until that time gets here, we have the ability right now to bring people to Christ. Now remember, at that last day, the Holy Spirit won't be here and most of the church is going to be gone. Okay? And when I say most of the church is going to be gone, all believers will be gone at one point in time. And those who come to belief afterwards are going to find themselves hiding. And they're going to believe without the Holy Spirit. Now, I got to ask you guys a question. How hard do you think it would have been for Israel to go through the land, go through the desert, go through everything they had without that angel in front of them preparing the way? How hard is it for us? We have God in us. How hard is it for us to go along the way now with the power of God and all the darkness coming at us? Think about what it's going to be like when the Holy Spirit's gone. And those people have to stand on their own strength, believing that Jesus is who he says. Folks, it's going to be difficult. Those folks are going to have the hardest time of all. In fact, many of them will lose their lives because they believe. But we have a job. We are on a journey, and our journey is bringing us into the land. And as we are going into the land, we need to remember God is before us. His law is around us. And as we believe the law, hold to his word. Now, so many people have said to me in the past, but Pastor, didn't Jesus come to abolish the law? No, Scripture does not say the law is void. Scripture says Christ fulfilled the curse of the law. In other words, we cannot die for falling short. All right? That's why he hung on Calvary. He knows we're going to fall short. How many of you make it halfway? Praise God, nobody raised their hands. Because the reality is, I don't know if any of us get off the ground. He was lifted up. Aren't you glad? I know I am. And as we look to His path, we need to understand He goes before us, and we are to be the light of the world. In obedience, drawing people to us, not pushing them out of the way, drawing people to us, that they too may receive the light. And when we do that, again, God gives us the promises. He'll take away all our sickness. No one will miscarriage. I mean, boy, those are some awesome promises. How many people in our community right now are sick? Okay? If we would but believe and receive the fullness of God's word, how different would our lives be? Oh, my heavens. Brothers and sisters, I'll tell you. I long for the day when we believe enough to receive just a tenth of this promise. But God goes on from there. God says, okay, I'm going to go before you. Not an angel, but my Holy Spirit now, because I'm going to go before you, I'm going to be around you and in you, and I'm going to empower you. Why is He going to empower us? Well, look what verse 27 says. It says, I will send my terror ahead of you and throw into confusion every nation you encounter. I will make all your enemies turn their backs and run. I will send the hornet ahead of you to drive the Hivites, Canaanites, Hittites out of your way, but I will not drive them out in a single year, because the land would become desolate and wild animals too numerous for you. Little by little, I will drive them out before you until you have increased enough to take possession of the land. I will establish your borders from the Red Sea to the Sea of the Philistines and from the desert to the river. I will hand over to you the people who live in the land, and you will drive them out before you. Do not make a covenant with them or with their gods. Do not let them live in your land, or they will cause you to sin against me, because the worship of their gods will certainly be a snare to you. Again, this reiterates everything He said the first time here. He's saying it twice. He's going to bring us into this land. He's going to open this land up for us. And folks, I want you to hear something. You don't have to be afraid. What did that scripture just say? He is going to send hornets. Now, I'm talking spiritually. He is going to drive out the demonic beings that go before us, that bring the darkness, so that when we come as children of light, the people that we speak to are going to be open vessels. God tells these people right here, He's going to drive out all the darkness that is before them, all those who are not before Him. And we need to remember, God's dealing with people a whole lot differently now than He did then. For God would that every person would be saved. So when He's speaking here to us today, this is a spiritual word. And this spiritual word says He is going to drive out those demonic forces that are blinding these people. And we need to be ready to speak the word of God to them. Because if we're not ready to speak the words of life to them, then what's going to happen? What does the scripture say happens to a person who the spirits have been driven out of and yet have not received the Spirit of Christ? 7 times more is going to come back into that individual, and 7 times stronger. We need to remember, we've been given so many opportunities and we don't take them. You know, Brother David has been chastised, and I'm talking David Webster, has been chastised because he will evangelize people in Walmart. Okay? He'll be walking through Walmart and somebody's frumpy, or, you know, comes around a corner sharp and cuts him off, and they give him that ugly stare. You know, we've all received that or given it. And Brother David will run into these people, and he'll just look right at them and say, oh, how are you today? And start a whole conversation with these people. And it's so funny, you know, it's just so funny, because I do that. And my son used to say to me, I can't believe you talk to those people. Do you even know them? No. Why? I do now. That's what we're supposed to be. When light comes into a room, what happens to the darkness? It's gone. Walk into the room, people. That's who God has made you to be. Walk into the room. Let your presence be known. Because the presence that is you is Jesus Christ in you. God's where? In His temple. You are His temple. And He goes before us and is around us and over us holding us, giving us the words that we need to speak. Fear not what you say before men, for the counselor will give you the words you need to speak. And take those words to the masses. Boy, I'm telling you, we were up at the mountains, the guys and I were up at the mountains, and we were sharing, and we were having a wonderful time, and we were talking about all of you. We were gossiping like you wouldn't believe. But it was a growth time, all right? I don't mean that in a bad way, I really don't. We were working things out, and it was amazing for me to sit there and watch these guys as their pastor, okay? Because when we were up there, I was rich. But I kept hearing, pastor. But, I wanted to be rich. But it was so amazing because we did. We began working it out. And we began talking about different things and different aspects. And before you know it, I think we came away a different group of people. Understanding that there's more to who we are as a community than just the individual peoples. But it's a community. And in that community, there's strength. And in that community, there's help. And in that community, there are those who need our help yet. I mean, how many of you have arrived? I haven't. That was quite evident to me years ago. And as I've said, the more I study, the more education I gain, I swear the dumber I am. Because I know so little. Every time I open the Bible, God shows me something new. And I think, I've been opening this thing for 20-some years now. How much more can there be? Well, we're talking about God. How much more is there that He wants you to know? How much more does He want to increase your territory? Okay? I want you to look at that. God says He's going to give you all this territory. And I don't think any of us have even come close to understanding the territory God has for us. Do you know the Scripture says that we shall rule and reign with Christ in the end? After all things are finished and the earth is reestablished, after it's recreated, after the tribulation. Because remember, the earth doesn't go away. God simply reforms the face of it. And there are people here on earth, it's all the Israelites, plus some of the people who have survived, who did turn their lives to Him and didn't take the mark of the beast. Remember that. They'll be here, and we're going to rule and reign over them. What's your territory going to be? Are you going to have a little street corner at 5th and Main? Or are you going to have all of Lebanon County? How about Lebanon-Lancaster County? How about east of the Susquehanna? How about Pennsylvania itself? How about, I have no idea. It's up to you. Build your territory. Allow God to open up those vistas in your life. How many of you have people in your lives that you influence? Every one of you, don't you? Do you know that's what I'm talking about? Every one of us has people that we influence. And God is opening up that territory for us now. He's driving out the dark forces every time we enter in. But now we have to speak. Are you willing to do that? Are you able to do that? Let me show you what happens when you do. Look back to your Bibles. In chapter 24, there's a lot of good stuff going on here. Then the Lord says to Moses, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. You are to worship at a distance, but Moses alone is to approach the Lord. The others must not come near, and the people may not come up with him. When Moses went up and told the people all the words of the law, they responded with one voice, everything the Lord has said we will do. Moses then wrote down everything the Lord had said. He got up early the next morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and set up 12 stone pillars representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent young Israelite men, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as fellowship offerings to the Lord. Moses took half the blood and put it in the bowls, and the other half he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it to the people. They responded, "We will do everything the Lord has said. We will obey." Here is where the covenant becomes consecrated. God brought his word. Here is my law. Here are my commands. Here is who I am. Here is how you are to be as a people. And if you do, I will go before you and I will bring you into a land and I will establish you and your territory will be thus and such. Do you know it's the same promise we receive in Jesus Christ? And the awesome thing is our territory in Jesus Christ is heaven. All of it. For we are heir with him. And that means that he gives us that place of equality as sons and daughters. Okay? Jesus is the firstborn. Jesus is the high priest. But we are like him because of his righteousness. And when we usher into that evidence and we say yes, just as these people said yes, God opens all of heaven to us. All of his promises, all of his goodness, everything that he is made available to us because we've said yes. And we have agreed to the contract. We have agreed to the covenant. Okay? Now the awesome thing is, you and I both know they failed miserably, didn't they? Israel failed miserably. So do we. So something else took place, and you all heard about it last week. Jesus Christ came, he took upon himself the covenant, and now he stands as the covenant holder. And he says, all we have to do is love him and obey him. Okay? Love me and obey me, and I'll hold the commandment of the law. I will take the curse of the law. You just love me and obey me. And death will not touch you ever again. And in that, folks, we receive the blessing of this covenant because Christ now holds it before the Father. God to God holds the covenant. And we are in a love relationship with him through faith, believing, and receiving. As we come to that place of understanding and saying yes to Christ, that means we're saying yes to all the law because Jesus said yes to all the law. And he fulfilled it. We're still supposed to honor it as best we can. And Jesus knows we're going to fail, doesn't he? That's why he went to the cross of Calvary. But that does not give us an excuse for not trying. It is to be our goal. It is to be our standard. It is to be our banner that is before us. Remember, Jesus Christ is the Word. And it is to be our banner. It is to go before us. It is to be that which is over us, a standard of our lives. Something that we aim for. I just spoke to a young people today. I said, you know, marriage is something that is always becoming and never achieving. Guess what? So too is Christian life. It's always becoming but never achieving. We never make it. But we're on the path. We're along the journey, and God has directed us. There are sign paths along the way, and we need, when it says detour, what do we need to do? Detour. When it says turn right, what do we need to do? When it says stop, what do we need to do? And when he says go, what do we need to do? Go. Brothers and sisters, God has set a way for us. And if we will agree with him and come into this, God begins the consecration process, the setting us aside, that we are coming into this covenant with Christ, because there is a covenant, but it's the covenant in his blood. It's a covenant of faith. It's a covenant of love, because he has fulfilled all these things. Reading on. Moses then took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, "This is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." What is the blood of the covenant that has been sprinkled upon us? You know, we call it down on us all the time. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, isn't it? The blood of Christ overflows us. His blood was shed for us, the atoning sacrifice. Do we put these things together when we're reading the scripture? Do we understand that it's no longer a bull or several bulls? It is the Son of God, His blood, His eternal blood, poured out over us, bringing us to that place of life, sanctifying us, giving us the hope of life, and setting us apart unto God. We are consecrated not by the blood of bulls, but the blood of the Lamb of God, the Son of God, that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. The blood of bulls was temporary, and it had to be sacrificed again and again and again and again. Jesus Christ, our eternal Son, our eternal God, sacrificed Himself once, and yet He lives. Praise His holy name. And in Him we live as well. Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel went up and saw the God of Israel. Under His feet was something like a pavement made of sapphire, clear as sky itself. But God did not raise His hand against these leaders of Israel. They saw God and they ate and they drank. How many of you have ever read that scripture and realized, oh my goodness, they saw God? Wait a minute, doesn't the scripture say no man can see God and live? Doesn't it say that? No man can see God and live. But yet, what's it say there? Let's read that together. Let's put this one in our head. Let's wrap our head around this one, folks. From verse 9. Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel went up and saw the God of Israel. Under His feet was something like a pavement made of sapphire, clear as sky itself. But God did not raise His hand against these leaders of the Israelites. They saw God, and they ate and drank. What allowed them to be in there? What allowed them to see God and live? Go ahead, what was that? The blood of the covenant, exactly. The blood of the covenant. Had they not been sprinkled with the blood of the covenant, their sin would have been before them and they would have been completely destroyed. No man in sin can stand before God and live. These people, for the first time, were consecrated totally unto the Lord. And they literally saw God. How many times we are under the blood of Jesus Christ? I just spoke to the kids this morning. How many times in our lives do we see God and yet deny it's Him? How many times has God opened a door and you've thrown that door open and said, oh, isn't that cool? And turned and walked away, not realizing God was showing you Himself right there. Here I am, all that I am. Walk into this. It was so amazing because, you know, I think about those things when I was up 18 feet in a tree and the light was shining through. Do you know what my mind said to me? I said, oh, Lord, Your transcendence is so beautiful. I mean, how many of you think about stuff like that? Or am I just some weird flippant guy up here? I mean, it amazes me. Dan and I went on a trip. We went to Indiana. And on the way, I told Dan, I said, Dan, I'm stopping in Ohio because I wanted to go fossil hunting. I said, so if you're going along, you're coming with me and you're going to dig fossils. He said, well, I might come along, but I don't know if I'm digging fossils. So we went, we drove, it was 7.5 hours to get there. And we pulled in, we found the place after stopping and getting directions. It was right across the street from us. We just missed a sign. How many of us do that in life? So we go across the street and we go back this little dirt road and we get back here to this pit and we go down into the pit and pastor's down there. I am happy on my knees digging in the dirt. But the dirt was exceedingly hard. It hadn't rained in a long time. And you're not allowed to bring shovels or screwdrivers or anything to dig with. You got to use your hands. Now please, this is a different type of fossil dig. They literally go to the quarry, dig the stuff out, bring it over, and dump it on piles. Okay? It's the simplest type of fossil collecting you can ever think of because all the dirt's loose. But it had been piled up there for days and had not rained, and it had turned to concrete. Okay? Because it's shale. It's very wet shale. And so I'm there, I'm trying to break this stuff apart. And I found a couple fossils. I found some bivalves. I found one beautiful bivalve. It's going to become a tie tack here before too long. It's completely pyrite, okay? And you'll all get to see that. And I found like my third fossil, and I was working hard. I was dirty, and I was hot, and I was sweaty. And Dan's sitting there on the picnic table just watching. And I said, well, I found a couple over here. I said, man, this digging's hard. He said, yeah, I got a snake over here. I'm thinking, wow, really? You know, my mind shifts now from fossils to snakes, you know. And you know how that works for me. And he says, yeah, and he reaches down right in front of me, plain ground, picks up this rock. And I'm thinking, okay, what's he doing? Because that's not a snake, that's a rock. And he lays this thing up there. And here on the rock is a crinoid stem. In pyrite. Dan thought he found a fossilized worm or something, but it's actually a fossilized crinoid. Here I am working my tail off, and he just bends over and picks them up off the ground. And he doesn't even know what he's doing. Again, in all of this, see God. Here I am working hard. Dan, who's my guest, just sits there and picks it right up. There it is. And he doesn't even know what he's looking for. So I explained it to him. You get in the picture? Some people have no idea what they're looking at, and we need to tell them. They have no idea what they're looking at, and we need to tell them. And Dan was amazed. Oh, my goodness. I said, you going to keep that? He said, no, you can have it. I said, okay. Stuck it in my bucket. I went back to looking some more, and it was hot. It was really hot. It was like 88 degrees that day. And out there in that pit with the gray ground and just heat, no water, it was really hot. And finally I said, well, I'm about done. There were some other young people there. They had shown up, and they were, I forget where they were from. Do you remember where they were from, Dan? They were not from Ohio. They were visiting as well. They had come there just to dig. Were they from Indiana? I don't remember where they were from. Anyhow, it may have been that they were from Indiana. And I know the one young man was from Texas because he came up to his brothers and then they went up there. So he was from Texas. I thought driving from Pennsylvania to Ohio to dig fossils was bad. Anyhow, we got done and I said to Dan, okay, it's time to go. He said, are you sure? He said, we could probably dig for another 2 hours. My fingers hurt because breaking that dirt open and what have you was pretty tough. Like I said, it was like concrete. And I stood up and I said to Dan, I said, Dan, you know, I said, this is just terrible. I said, these fossils are all around us. I said, and it hasn't rained and all this dust is now turned into a concrete on everything. I said, they could be stand. I said, we are standing. Isn't that how I said, Dan? We are standing here and those fossils are all around us and we just don't see them. And at that moment, I looked down. And I said, oh my Lord, you're not going to believe this. Because you see, I went there to find a trilobite. And I had asked the Lord, please, Lord, allow me to find a trilobite. Look that up. You'll see what it is. They come in many shapes and forms. And I looked down, and there between my feet, this is not a joke, between my feet, face up, looking right at me, was a trilobite. I backed up, picked up a stone, reached down. I said, Dan, you aren't going to believe this. And I started digging, and I popped this thing out of the ground. He said, what do you got there? I said, please see God, okay? See God. I said, Dan, hold on a second. Let me go wash this in the water. The water of the Word makes all things clear. So I took this stone over to a big tub of water that was there just for washing rocks. And I washed it. There was even a toothbrush there to scrub fossils. And I cleaned this thing off and I showed it to him. I said, what do you see? He said, I don't know. I have no idea what I'm looking at. So I showed it to him. I showed him the eyes. I showed him the face. And he said, oh, now I see it. He said, isn't that amazing? That's Dan's favorite words. Do you all know that? Isn't that amazing? And I love him because he's right. It is. Right there's God. Right there's God in so many ways, in so many forms, in a little 3-hour side trip. Because Pastor just wanted a break before he went and got busy for the next couple of days. You know, it's hard putting church together and doing a master's. And I just needed a break. I said, Lord, you know, just let me find a trilobite. I found more than a trilobite. I found God loving me in ways that now I can use to teach you. And folks, he's all around us. Are we looking to see him? Because sometimes he's that close, looking right at us, waiting for us to find him. And that's exactly where Israel was. And they communed with God. He was right there with them. And by the blood of the covenant, by the blood of the bulls, they were able to be with him and not be destroyed. By the blood of Christ, we are able to be with God, to see him and not be destroyed, but be given the hope and the love and the prosperity of knowing that we matter to our Heavenly Father. I mean simple things, folks. Your back being healed. Needing a job. Wanting your family to understand you better as a teenager. All these things are possible if we allow God, that reality, to come into our lives in such a real way. He won't destroy us. He'll build us up. And he'll show us himself to give us the hope of communion with him. Let's read on. The Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and stay here, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and commandments I have written for their instruction. Then Moses set out with Joshua, his aide, and Moses went up on the mountain of God. He said to the elders, wait here for us until we come back to you. Aaron and Hur are with you, and anyone involved in a dispute can go to them. When Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days the cloud covered the mountain, and on the 7th day the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. Then Moses entered the cloud as he went on up the mountain, and he stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Our God is a consuming fire, folks. The Israelites saw correctly. In fact, the scripture in the New Testament calls God a consuming fire. And he's asking us to bring the people into his presence, that he can consume from them the darkness that is in them. Now, he doesn't take it all out at once, does he? We all know that because he doesn't do it to us. If he did, it would literally kill us. But little by little, as we are willing to walk with him, just as Moses did, and not be afraid to enter that consuming fire. He doesn't take it all away at one time. Small pieces, because he knows it's all we can handle. And praise him for it. He's a gentle, loving Father who wants us all to succeed. My question for you today is, as I close, are you ready to say yes to this wonderful, beautiful covenant relationship that we have with Jesus Christ? Are you ready to say yes to walking in and remaining on this journey and being covered in the presence of God's Son, his blood, so that we can know God and be God to a world? Because that's what he's asking. He's asking for transformed lives, people who are willing to say yes. Are you willing to say yes today and receive from God the hope, the love, the mercy, the strength, and the power to be all that God has for you? Because if you are, he will go before you. And he will increase your territory. And you will know God. What say ye this day? Let us pray. Gracious Lord our God, we come before you as your children. And Lord, I pray that each and every person this day is thinking through that question. Because, Lord, the answer has to be yes. We can say no. But, Lord, to say no is to set ourselves on a path of destruction. But to say yes opens all of eternity and opens every possibility. So, Father, I pray each and every person here this day, as you've made that commitment, and Lord, if it's a new commitment and it's the first time you've made that commitment, Father, we just open the altar and we ask that you would come. And on bended knee, just ask the Lord here in person and in openness to give you hope, to give you life. Because, Lord, without you, there is no hope, there is no life. So I pray every individual here is going to say yes this day and walk anew. And Lord, that means walking together with brothers and sisters. None of the Israelites walked alone. They walked as a community of faith. So too may we walk as a community of faith, because that's what the church is. The church is not a building. It never was, and it never will be. But it's a community, hand in hand, heart to heart, back to back. Community held together by your love and covered by your sacrifice and blood. We thank thee, O Lord, and we give ourselves to you. And may our answer be yes, Lord, yes. In Jesus' holy name. Amen.